Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Elections for the next vice president of the American Rose Society will happen later this year, and candidates are already stepping forward in the hope of leading the charge to reinvigorate the nation's oldest single-plant horticultural society. With societies around the globe struggling to remain relevant in the digital age, pivotal changes will be required to reach a generation of smartphone gardeners. And on today's broadcast, one of those candidates joins us to share her platform. Teresa talks with Carrie Bergs. Y'all stay with us. The Rose Chat Podcast starts now.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey friends, spring has finally arrived to my garden, and the roses are coming back with record speed. But also coming back with record speed are plummeting temperatures. We're going from 72 to 27 within a few days. So, as usual, spring is going to keep us on our toes. Now today, Carrie Bergs is back to give us a garden report from her neck of the woods, and to tell us something new that she's doing. Hey, Carrie, welcome back to Rose Chat.
Hi, Teresa. I'm so excited to be back with you.
Now, Carrie, last fall we talked about your old garden roses that you called your pink ladies, and I'm wondering how they're doing.
Well, we have not had any days here yet in the 60s, so you are very lucky. I think our high has just scooted right over 50 degrees, so... But our roses are very happy outside. We've pulled some of the boxes off to peek under them and some of our construction blankets to peek under them. And it looks like it's going to be a real boom of a year for our roses. But my pink ladies in particular are just busting their bloomers to get out from under that construction blanket. They are just growing like gangbusters, except, as you said, the spring weather is not here yet, so it's a little risky to pull that blanket off of them, even though they want to be let out, and I would love to let them out. So we'll probably have to wait about another month, I think.
Oh, another month. Now, do you think you had a milder winter than normal, or was it about average?
I think we had, to start with, we had definitely a milder winter all the way through December and the first part of January, but then we were hit really hard with 3 weeks of below zero weather. The winds have been horrific this winter, no matter what the temperature, it seems. But we were fortunate in that we had probably 27 to 30 inches of snow on the ground consistently from the time it first started snowing, really right after Christmas, until just a couple weeks ago when it melted. So that added insulation on the roses is what I think made all the difference. Our rose boxes are about 3 feet tall, and they were buried under snow for a good month and a half. So snow is a good thing in the right place. And we were fortunate to have that added insulation during that freezing cold weather. So,
you know, we didn't have anything near 27 inches, but we did, like you, get snow at just the right time to add insulation. Before the temperatures really, really, really dropped for us, the roses were insulated. And, you know, we're seeing leaves now. I mean, they are going crazy. Now, it is going to get some nip. We're going to get some nipping for sure. But anyway, that's spring, and that's just the way it goes.
That's the way it goes. Yep, that's part of growing things.
It is. Now, Carrie, you're up to something new these days. You're now running for vice president of the American Rose Society. So why did you decide to throw your hat in the ring?
Well, yes, I am running for vice president of the American Rose Society, and that is an excellent question. I think the biggest reason is that for the last 9 years that we've been members of the American Rose Society and two local Rose Societies here, is that the American Rose Society has been such an important part of our lives, my husband and I, Joe. and I, it's been such an important part of our lives. And I think that we, as a couple, are such a good example of how the American Rose Society contributes to our knowledge, our ability to grow roses, our ability to exhibit. I mean, we just wouldn't be the rose growers and the rose enthusiasts that we are without the assistance of the American Rose Society. And I just felt that I had enough of the skills and the enthusiasm and some new vision to be able to really give back to an organization that has been so instrumental in my life over the last several years.
Oh, so good, so good. Now, if you become VP, what are some things you'd like to accomplish?
Well, I come from a background of public relations, marketing, fundraising, and special events. My first love is not-for-profit work, and I have done a lot of community volunteer work here in Racine over the years. And I see that not-for-profits have a lot of things in common, of course, whether you are a children's service society or whether you are the American Rose Society. And I think what the American Rose Society really needs right now and in the future, if we're to ensure its success going forward, is membership. And we need to appeal to all types of members out there, not just those people that want to grow perfect roses, but those people that just want to grow roses, any kind of rose, from a knockout rose to perfect phase of beauty hybrid tea. We have a big umbrella in the American Rose Society, and I think it's really time that we work to encourage everybody who loves the rose into our society. And not even those that want to grow the rose, maybe just people that love the rose. They can all be members of the American Rose Society. I just read a very interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, perhaps, that said in the pandemic year, over 20 million new gardeners were created. Of course, why? Because we were all at home. And people really wanted to get outside. They wanted to teach their kids some things. They wanted to get outside and do something new. And everybody was at home. There was no more little league. There were no more soccer. There was no after-school activities. So families got out into the yard. And I think that we can really capitalize on that in the next year or two. So I think that membership needs to be expanded, as I said, to all sorts of different kinds of people. And I think that I bring a lot of talents and skills to that. One of my examples for membership is using promotional, educational, and social media, again, to reach a huge variety of people. I mean, this year, I think Diane Summers did such a great job in expanding all of that. And for one, was a little bit nervous about the whole thing. And, you know, I'm not a technology wizard or anything like that. But I think we were able to reach out to so many people in the American Rose Society through consulting rosarian training, through judging schools, through just regular meetings. And I think we can really use that to reach a lot of people in this country who are interested in gardening. And they don't necessarily have to attend local Rose Society meetings in order to learn about the American Rose Society. So membership is a huge goal of mine. A second goal of mine is to partner with the rose industry. We've had a lot of success with the Milwaukee National Convention coming up in partnering with large companies and rose growers and hybridizers. We had the Knockout family of roses give us a very generous gift in order to sponsor the national convention, along with heirloom roses and Weeks roses. And I think that the American Rose Society can continue these partnerships and grow those relationships, because we're all in the rose business together, really. So I think there's some opportunity there. I think that we really need to work on appealing to our Rose Society presidents. I was a president for 2 years of the Greater Milwaukee Rose Society. Joe and I were actually co-presidents. And we really had a lot of fun doing it. But, you know, as presidents, we felt a little isolated from the American Rose Society because there really isn't ever any give and take between local presidents and the national organization. You have the district director sort of in the middle, but there's never any chance for a direct dialogue between presidents and the American Rose Society. And therefore, I think presidents sort of are just kind of out there on their own and left up to their own devices. But by using the new social media and webinar platforms and that kind of thing, I think that we can, you know, we can have a group of, let's say, regional local society presidents who can all meet for brainstorming sessions, who can get the information from the ARS that they can pass along to their members, so that all of us, local, district-wide, and nationally, feel a lot more connected. I think if local members are invested in the American Rose Society, they're going to be much more likely to spread the word about the benefits of the American Rose Society. So I feel that by connecting people, we are going to be able to grow our membership as we go forward. I also think that we need to encourage younger people. And by younger people, I don't necessarily mean those in their 20s and 30s, although that certainly would be a possibility. I'm talking about younger people, kids, through 4-H, through church groups, through the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, that kind of thing. We have two adorable little neighbor kids, and their names are Bean and Jackson, and they love our rose garden. So we gave them 6 roses last year, of course, before the pandemic hit, really. And they came over the summer, and they learned how to grow them, and they learned how to fertilize them, and they learned to smell them, and they learned about leaves and all that kind of thing. And we were so excited to be able to take them to rose shows this summer. But of course, we couldn't. So this year, we are very excited to be able to take them to the state fair. I'm hoping that they're going to be able to exhibit at the national and the junior classes. They're just adorable, and they enjoy this so much. And you know what? In 10 years, they're going to be active junior members of the Rose Society. And maybe in 20 years, they may even be a Rose Society president. But you know what? In the meantime, their mom is a new member of the American Rose Society. So we just have to think outside the box a little bit and try and invest in our membership future. So those are just some of my ideas for membership.
So many good ideas. I have a neighbor who that I mentored, and she's off to college now. But oh, the times that we spent in my garden, and she was just the best student. She just loved it so much. And I told her, you know, as she goes into her profession, which I believe is going to be psychiatry, I said, you know, you're going to need a garden in your life. You're going to need a place for you to go that's just for you. And it's just so important. And now I have another little neighbor, and we're sharing seed packets and flowers, and she loves to come and walk in my garden. She's junior high, and I look forward to teaching her more. It's just so important. And you mentioned the social media, and you know, even though we were disconnected, I can tell you that I have actually taken webinars and felt closer to people in several countries. I actually was able to participate in a wreath making demonstration for Christmas at my grandson's school in England. So you're on the right track there for what we can do to connect people. Just beautiful things can happen out of that, even if we can't be just across the street from each other.
Well, and absolutely. And as I said, you know, our two little neighbors, Bean and Jackson, you know, they might not be Rose members in 15 years, but maybe in 25 years when their parents themselves, you know, they may be interested in joining a Rose Society. I mean, you just never know. You have to make an investment, even though it's not going to pay off immediately. So I think kids are just, I mean, obviously kids are our future, and that's one way to do it. And I think the ARS is on track a little bit with the whole photography thing. But that appeals to so many people, and you don't necessarily have to grow roses in order to take photographs of them, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they've done a good job reaching out to kids in that area. So I think we could just do more overall. So I'm excited about that connection.
Now, we've talked a lot about the future, but I know that you have a great interest in history as well, in the past.
I do. And I would really, one of my goals, and this is a little bit out there, because as I said, I'm not a technology whiz, but I certainly am smart enough to figure out how to ask the right questions and to make the right connections. But I feel like the American Rose Society has such a tremendous bank of historic records and articles and history that we need to be able to really put that out there in an archive of some kind that is searchable online for anybody to access Rose information. And I have been so fortunate to receive many old Rose annuals, old Rose magazines, society newsletters and that kind of thing from some of the older people in our Rose Society who are trying to clean out and, you know, get life a little bit more organized. And they always ask me if I want all that old stuff. And I do, because I have been able to now amass a collection of all the American Rose annuals going back to 1916, wow, all the way through the present. And you know what? Growing roses hasn't really changed all that much over the years. Our chemical names have. Some of the disease names have changed. I mean, we're much smarter about growing roses today. But the basics about planting a rose and caring for a rose haven't really changed. And to read some of the old articles and old information, I mean, you can just start to see the forest through the trees here. And you feel connected to the people in the past that built this organization. You know, the American Rose Society is one of the oldest plant societies in the entire world. You know, we were founded as a florist organization in the late 1800s. So we have been around for a very long time. And I just think it would be a fabulous wealth of information if we could create an online archive for the rest of the world to share that with. So, you know, that's not an immediate priority. But if I were to be elected vice president and then serve 3 years as president, I think we could make a really good start on that in the 6 years that I would be in office.
That sounds exciting. Carrie, could you tell our listeners how the election works?
Well, I actually researched that myself today because I wasn't totally sure. Every year it seems the election is a little bit different. This year, the election is held every 3 years. So this year they have decided that we are just going to be able to vote via email. And so they have a company that they are working with, and they're all going to be electronic ballots. So I want to encourage people to please make sure that your email is on file with the American Rose Society by June 15th. I understand they sent out a postcard to people who may not have a registered email with the ARS, reminding them to get an email and send that in to them. So that has to be done by June 15th. Then voting begins on June 30th, and people will receive a ballot in the mail. And you can vote anytime between noon on June 30th through noon on July 30th. So voting is open for a month. And the company that will be sending you the email, I believe their name is IntelliScan. So that's not junk. You'll want to open that and make sure you vote for the next Vice President of the American Rose Society.
Now, the Vice President will serve for 3 years and then automatically will become President, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And this will be for members only, friends. So this is a great time to become a member, and you can do that at rose.org. So we'd love to have you join us. So Carrie, ongoing, how can our listeners find out more about your campaign and about what's going on in your garden as you open those boxes?
Well, they can find me on Facebook under Carrie Bergs, B-E-R-G-S, where I have a special, well, I have, of course, my Facebook account, but then I have a special page attached that talks all about my platform and what I'm interested in accomplishing as a vice president. I'm also in the process of creating a web page, so I will definitely keep you posted, Teresa, and I will put that up on Facebook as soon as that web page is developed. They can also, of course, email me at carriebergs4roses@gmail.com. And I'm happy to take requests and to be invited to speak to local rose societies or district rose societies at any time. I'm trying to perfect my Zoom performance, so I'll be ready if somebody wants to invite me to their meeting. I would love that opportunity and to hear what people want a vice president to do, what they feel the ARS needs to concentrate on. I sometimes feel like we spend too much time telling people and not enough time asking.
Well, that sounds great. Now, there's something else I want to talk about before we let you go, and that's something that's happening up in your neck of the woods, and it's the big convention coming up in September. So tell us about that.
Oh, the convention, it's going to be so much fun. I have been to 3 national conventions. Joe and I planned 2 by bus trip, and we went to Gettysburg, which was a fabulous, wonderful experience. And then, 2 years ago already, we took the bus and took all of our Rose Society members down to Franklin, Tennessee, to the mini national down there. So, and we also were very privileged to attend the San Diego convention when Bob Martin was installed as president, also a very memorable event. So national conventions are a lot of fun, and we are tickled pink to be hosting the national convention this year in Milwaukee. And our member of our Greater Milwaukee Rose Society, Diane Summers, who is the current vice president, will be installed as president of the American Rose Society. So, of course, it's totally fitting that we have the national convention here in Milwaukee, and we are excited to welcome everybody September 10th through the 14th. And it's going to be at a very historic, lovely hotel in downtown Milwaukee called the Pfister Hotel, which has been around since the late 1880s, I think, 1800s. Just a beautiful hotel, a couple blocks from Lake Michigan, so a great location, walkable to lots of things in the area. And so Cream City Roses, for people that think Cream City is related to Wisconsin's dairy industry, it's not. Cream City Roses, I actually came up with the name, so Cream City Roses has to do with the Cream City brick that a lot of buildings in Milwaukee are constructed from. It's that creamy yellow brick that you see in various places. You'll see it all throughout downtown Milwaukee. So it's a reference to brick and not milk or dairy products, just as a little aside here. But we're planning lots of guest speakers. There are going to be great garden tours. There's a huge rose show on Saturday. And then, of course, we will have the farewell banquet for Bob Martin, who is the outgoing ARS president. And then, of course, the incoming installation banquet and awards banquet for Diane Summers. So going to be a great, great weekend.
You know, the conventions, the American Rose Society conventions are always fun. But after a year that we've had of no travel and very little human contact, the convention sounds even better than ever. And I've seen the list of speakers and programs, and they are fantastic. And creamcityroses.com, friends, is where you can find more information. And actually, there's pictures of those beautiful cream-colored brick buildings, too. So,
Teresa, it's actually creamcityroses.org.
Oh, is it .org?
Yeah,
.org. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. creamcityroses.org. Well, Carrie, I just want to say thank you so much for your desire to serve in leadership of the American Rose Society. And it is an organization like you that's near and dear to my heart. And we wish you all the very best.
Well, thanks so much, Teresa. And I just want to say that, you know, win or lose, I think that I will encourage dialogue and positive feelings and lots of good thoughts about the American Rose Society, because I believe that while roses are what bring us all together, it is a friendship that we've made through the roses that keep us all together. And so that's a big goal of mine, as I said, throughout this whole election, is to just make connections with people. So thanks, good wishes.
Well, that is so true, because you and I would not know each other except for roses. So it is a great blessing in our life to have all these wonderful rose friends.
definitely. So, and if I can just put in a quick plug, I wanted to just mention that on Sunday of the convention, both Joe and I, our garden and the garden of Steve Singer, who's a hybridizer up here that belongs to our Rose Society, the Gateway Rose Society, will be on the garden tour that Sunday. And so I look forward to welcoming you all to our garden that day. And then on Monday, everybody who's here is in for a very special treat because they will be able to tour the gardens of Will Radler, who, of course, is the hybridizer of the Knockout Roses. And his is not really a garden so much as it is a very interesting rosarium. And he is fond of many, many different kinds of plants. So it's even more than roses. So that's a really special highlight for this convention. So I encourage everybody to come up and come and see us in Milwaukee.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Friends, if you haven't seen pictures of Carrie's garden, you can do that on Facebook. It is an absolutely beautiful garden, and I looked forward to seeing it. And friends, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope things are going well in your world. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.